Welcome aboard the Ark for the first time in quite some time. You're listening to The 100 Podcast, a show about CW sci-fi series, The 100. I'm Dan, your mountain man, and today I'm joined by my favorite grounder, Olga.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast, and welcome to new listeners, hopefully.
Yeah.
So this is going to be pretty loose and just a discussion of our hopes
for
and dreams.
Four.
That too.
I guess our random hopes.
I want a puppy.
Yeah, so this is our pre-season four podcast, sort of diving in. I know we could be doing a predictions episode, but this is more hopes than predictions necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure we'll get into prediction territory to some degree, but here's the thing, like, we are not spoiler people, so we've only watched the trailer. Like, I don't even know if there's been more than one trailer. I think there might have been two trailers, but I've only watched one, and I've only watched it once, because...
Same.
I like the idea that the trailer gets me excited, but I never look closely because I don't, like, actually want to know what's coming up. Especially, like, the whole thing, last year they showed Octavia beating up Bellamy, and that was, like episodes, like, 9 or something, right?
Yeah. Well, I just remember, I've been listening, but I haven't had a lot of time to rewatch season 3 in preparation, so I've been listening to us talking about it. Very egotistical.
Yeah.
But I remember being like, oh my god, I was so surprised by Mount Weather exploding. You're like, yeah, I saw that in the trailer. So and that was in promos though.
Yeah, yeah.
So I plan on doing the same thing where I'm not watching promos, not watching trailers too closely, any of that.
I say that, but I'm probably gonna end up watching the promos. But yeah, so the idea here is we're gonna sort of reevaluate where we are going into season four and go through the characters and go through, again, sort of rehashing some of the issues with season three and how we hope that they can learn from them in season four.
Right. Move past them so that it's more well-rounded, enjoyable show.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think we both agree that season three had its high points for sure, but it was a rocky road, like ice cream.
But the ice cream is delicious.
Much like the ice cream that Jasper had in the finale.
We did just rewatch Perverse Instantiation. Does not get easier to say.
Nope.
Parts 1 and 2. So that got us really hyped up.
All right, so... We're going to talk, the first little bullet point I had here, and I'll sort of guide it because I came up with these bullets, but I'll throw it over to you. But one of the things we definitely talked about last year, which I'm very hopeful for season four, is that they've learned about pacing more. That they go slower, they let the characters more organically get to points, and that they don't bite off more than they can chew.
Yeah, I think the only way that they can pull that off is if they don't pay too much attention, potentially, to grounder culture.
Interesting.
Because the big issue was so many of our characters got split up.
Yeah.
And obviously there was some contract stuff in there, too, about it being expensive to have everybody in every episode.
Yeah.
So that will be unavoidable, I'm assuming.
Well, I think certainly that, but I also think to a certain degree... splitting them up will also be unavoidable. And I think in some ways splitting them up isn't necessarily a bad thing because I think that's how, when you have that big of a cast, it's that splitting them up is the easiest way to have sub-stories and to have multiple things going on at once.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I feel like is the issue with season three and what I'm, again, hopeful for season four is that they had a bunch of mini arcs that they had ideas for. And I'm not talking about necessarily character arcs as much as, like, we want to do the whole thing with, the fascism and Pike and everything. We want to talk about the Ice Nation and do that mini arc. We want to do City of Light. And it was just lots of good potential plot lines that banged into each other and didn't let any of them breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And that could have, again, if they had more time, more budget, could have each been a season.
Yeah. Frankly, I think we came to the agreement that this should have been a 22-episode
season.
Like a lot of CW
where they
shows.
Could have had a first half arc and a second half arc.
And have one thing wrap up instead of trying to balance it all happening at the same time and then dropping the ball in character development or completion of a story arc in now, a most satisfying way.
Yeah, and obviously we're getting actually less episodes this year.
Yeah.
And so, again, my hope is that they acknowledge that this is the situation, and instead of saying we're going to try to show as much as we can in these 13 episodes, they go, I know we have a lot of cool ideas, guys, but let's do one of them and do it right.
Or just instead of six, three.
Yeah, you know? And I certainly, especially because there's the fear of there not being another season after this, I certainly understand, if anything, this would be the year more than ever where they're like, we want to get every last bit in.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think, you don't want to end off on that crazed, chaotic note, don't think.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to be a challenge for sure. But I just, because the other thing I was thinking about is, it wasn't just that, like, because in some ways you could say the Pike plotline was the first half and then we got the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is the Pike plotline didn't get to end on its own terms. It was shoved out of the way by the other plotline coming in.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's, I want a more definitive ending of one before the next one. It can overlap a little bit.
Yeah, and it should overlap a bit, because that's how it layers and it feels like a fleshed out universe.
Yeah.
Like your things aren't happening one at a time.
Yeah.
But it's TV, you know?
But also I think about how they did season one into season two, where they were building up the Mountain Men and the climax was about the Mountain Men, but they had finished the battle with the Grounders before the Mountain Men showed up.
Yeah.
You know?
Or even season two.
Yeah.
I think season two is a good example of that, of you have the Mount Weather stuff happening, and then obviously the stuff back in Camp Jaha is happening elsewhere, and then Jaha is happening in the third place, and it overlaps and layers nicely until it all comes together.
Well, it was in some ways the way we ended season two made you think, okay, next season's the City of Light season, and that's why it was kind of like, I almost think that should have maybe waited till like the moment that we had, I don't know how they would have drawn it out, but the moment we had where we first see Allie, in my opinion, should have maybe been like near the midpoint of season three, because that's because it should be one way or the other, where it's either we start season three and it was the City of Light season, or it should have been we start season three and it's just about these Grounder politics and Pike and everything, and then, you know, we bring in, you know, as opposed to overlapping that level, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if that would have helped us care about the City of Light, though. Yeah. That was, listening back to our podcast, we had a big issue with that, being like, I don't care, it's so separate, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, I don't know how they could have made us care more, but problem was that everything else with the farm station and the Grounder politics, that was just so exciting that it was, we resented City of Light for taking away from that.
Yeah. Well, especially because until I knew that they were going with a more interesting, greater allegory, and we felt like the fear of it with the zombie people and everything, it was just so fantastical too that I was more interested in the grounded stuff, no pun intended.
Huh.
So I you know, I don't want to super rehash that. I think that they did some good things there, but I just think it was so much overlap. And honestly, the biggest casualty of this, I would say, well, the two biggest, one is Lincoln's story, and the other is Bellamy's arc and having it make sense.
Yeah.
I don't want those cracks to, you know,
reform. Yeah. No, I'm with you. By the end, we were, like I said, the finale was satisfying for what the show had led us to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it had that payoff.
The next big point was talking about just, we hope that they have learned a little bit about having more consistency with their sci-fi rules.
Yeah.
Something that we talked a lot about last year was how it felt very inconsistent about what the rules of the City of Light were and what Allie could do and what people under the influence could do and who.
Right. And part of that was like, am I missing something? Am I being stupid and not paying attention? Or is this truly something out of the blue or newly introduced?
Yeah.
And I didn't always know where that line was, because there were times where it was out of the blue.
Yeah.
And I don't, that distracts me personally.
Yeah. Well, I just think, you know, in order to stay like stuck in the world that you're watching, if they set up a rule, they kind of have to follow through with it. And again, it's like sci-fi is never going to be realistic or make sense. But as long as you follow your own logic within the world, then I can stick with it and believe in it. But then when you set something up and then you immediately contradict it, I'm like, what? Did I miss something? Like, what?
Yeah. So that was a pretty big point of also not liking the City of Life for us, of like, this is inconsistent. At least the Grounders are consistent. And then it's like, well, are the Grounders consistent? You know?
Yeah. So something we need to talk about is sort of the way we end off season three is this sort of idea of impending doom and apocalypse. Mm-hmm. We have 6 months. And what do you think, you know, what are your hopes about the fallout of that? No pun intended. I keep doing these things.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I kind of mentioned that you mentioned how you were interested in, oh, they have to convince people that this is happening. Yeah. Like that there will be impending doom. Yeah. The fact that there will be all these like radiation and explosions going on. And I was like, well, people didn't take the threat of Allie seriously already, and they had to convince people to get on their side and like fight back. So I don't really want to see that again. I don't want them having to deal with, oh, we don't trust Clark for what Allie showed her. We don't know. Eh, whatever. I'm like, no, I don't want to see that again. And that feels like it might be a waste of time.
So this is something I think where we differ, because my thought process is A, that not believing her is completely human nature, and it's the most realistic thing to not want to accept that the end is coming, to you know, want to stick your head in the sand. I think that, I mean, and even they talk about that here with Allie being like, oh, I told her this thing was going to happen and she ran away.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that is the most realistic reaction, especially because you're just believing Clark. And then even, I think another, a subsect of this will be the people who want to kill Clark or are angry at Clark because it's her fault now in some way.
I didn't think of that, about how she's responsible for them all being at risk.
Yeah, especially if you're one of the people who liked the City of Light or chose the, you know, like, you know, in some ways you got Jasper has another reason, another switch that she pulled that ruined everything 2 years in a row.
Oh, those switches.
Yeah. So I don't know. And I also think that people not believing her and the sub-factions and things that will, and the fighting that will ensue over this is the only real way that they have, like, more tangible conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have this grand idea, right, of everything's going to blow up and how are they going to solve it. But that's not, like, that's not, like, character-based.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like having these sub-factions and things, and also if you see that, I mean, we've seen the poster of the Arcadia exploded and everything.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that I think that's exploded by another person. I don't think that that's exploded by just explosions, you know.
I think that might be more of a metaphor.
It might be.
I don't think that will happen literally, necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, we certainly never had red-haired Clark looking over at Polis, so that's worth noting. I mean, that was the one last year.
Yeah. Then again, we didn't have red-haired Clark for long anyway.
Exactly. So. Yeah, so, you know, well, that's an interesting thought. I just, building off of the impending doom thing is just the idea of, like, is there a villain this season? Do we want a villain? Do we need a villain? You know?
Well, would a villain, again, would we resent a villain?
As far as,
like, why is
getting
this
in the way of the bigger plot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's certainly a potential thing. I think another thing would be, I think, honestly, as much as I think this twist of impending doom is interesting and different and was a really cool twist, I think it's going to cause a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Because you end up with this thing of that the characters and the character drama that we care about so much now will always seem insignificant and will kind of annoy us to a certain degree.
I hope that's not true. You
know, like, I mean, it reminds me of how I'm still scared about the White Walkers coming on Game of Thrones because I care so much about the interpersonal politics.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the White Walkers come, none of that matters.
Yeah.
You have to deal with the White Walkers.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. As far as, like, if Octavia is still being like, I'm upset about Lincoln and I don't want to talk to you people and I'm mad at Clark, and like, okay, like, I'm not saying I don't understand you, but as a TV character, when I know the world is ending, I'm like, want to shake you and be like, this doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's how people are.
Yeah.
Like, that's how, I mean, if you look at our political situation in the United States right now.
Yeah.
If you look at that, you're like, there are people out there on social media or even in real life where they're like, eh, but this thing is going on for me. And it's like, but how are you not rising up to, like, fight for something that I know you disagree with?
Yeah.
But, like, come on, do something, you know? And that's not how human nature how humans function.
That's an interesting point for sure. But yeah, I mean, as far as the villain specific thing, I think, honestly, especially if it's their last season, which again, we don't know, I think that the most hundred thing to do would be to not have a actual villain to, for the most, more than ever before, mm-hmm. have legitimately hero versus hero mm-hmm. and have it be, you know, just disagreements and different points of view. More like we've had Cage where he had some point of view. Yeah. We had Pike where he had some point of view. Let's go further, you know?
Yeah.
I think some level of, we even talked about maybe having more of a civil war last season.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think of, all right, who out of the characters we know could become the opposition? It's like, all right, well, if it's Jaha again, that would suck.
Yeah.
Like, come on. We just had that.
Yeah.
But he has to have some sort of progression. I don't know.
I have a feeling, my guess is that we'll have somebody else. And that they'll take Jaha in and be like, you had problems, but you're useful. You know?
Yeah.
And I could see, and I think, honestly, for me, the most interesting thing would be if they found a way to make Kane the problem again. Because he has very specific ideas about how to protect people save people.
I agree, but at the same time, like, all right, now is the time for when all of the adults are actually not in charge.
Yeah.
Like, I think that has to be the culmination of the season, where it's not Chancellor Abby, Chancellor Jaha, Chancellor Kane, Pike.
Yeah.
Definitely not Pike. and the true leaders are going to be Clark and Bellamy.
Yeah. I mean, and what would be really cool is if they found a way to make Bellamy and Clark disagree about the way to handle it.
Well, didn't they just do that and then they reconciled again?
Not really, though. Not in, like, I mean, they were just, they didn't have an ongoing disagreement.
That's true, because Clark wasn't really there for most of that. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Again, these are just me throwing out ideas. Yeah. I'm not saying I necessarily hope for these things. And I think it would be hard for me to believe Kane because he has changed so much.
Yeah.
But I'm also just trying to figure out, like, I know this is jumping ahead a little bit in our outline, but I'm like, what do you do with the three white guys? Because Kane, Murphy, and Jasper are all amazing actors.
So
and
good.
All of their storylines feel somewhat done to me. And I don't really know. I love those characters, but I don't really know where you go forward with any of them. Especially, Kane has felt the most stagnant to me.
Just to be clear, it's not where do you go forward with them because they're the three white guys.
I just think it's funny that who happens to be the three characters that I feel this way about the most.
Well, just breaking it down, I mean, everyone who was in the City of Light and then did horrible, awful things for Allie, now they have to, like, how are they going to deal with the repercussions of their actions? Like, you'd think they'd be psychologically broken.
Yeah.
But somehow they're probably going to have to get their shit together and do stuff.
Yeah.
So in some cases,
with Kane or
just in general, in some cases, I would be shocked if they don't have characters, frankly, killing themselves now that they know that the world is going to go through another nuclear apocalypse, at risk of going through a nuclear apocalypse, and having all of that pain, some of it physical, flooding back to them in one moment after Clark, you know, destroyed the City of Light. Like, how realistic is it that people would be, everyone that we have met now, would be able to stand up to that trauma?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's interesting.
And frankly, that might be a resolution to some.
Are you alluding to Jasper?
Yes, I am alluding to Jasper.
Well, so Jasper is the one that feels the most left hanging. Again, no pun intended, because he thought he was going to commit suicide.
Oh, I was like, what? Where did that come from?
I mean, the thing that's weird about Jasper is that you either move on from this, because again, we feel like at some point the writers thought about having him commit suicide at the end of the season, and
I think they filmed it.
Yeah, I think it's possible, honestly. Or at minimum wrote it and then changed their mind.
Yeah,
whether it be because of backlash about other controversial things or what, but I think that you know, having the distance now, as much as I think that there might be some problematic ideas or messages in him committing suicide, I think artistically that was the perfect way to end his arc. And that, especially when you have the Raven as the opposition, if they pushed the Raven as more as of finding the opposite idea.
Yeah. I mean, I ultra criticized what we saw of Raven and her like suicide attempt in I forget which episode it was.
Metaphorical suicide.
Yeah. So by no means am I like encouraging it, and I totally acknowledge. Like I don't, you know, it gets better.
Yeah.
I believe that. Yeah. So.
But not everybody's able to find that, and I think that that's a story, and that's a that character made more sense.
You know, it's again, it's that hard line to find of like. I feel like we put a lot of hopes on this show to be the ideal representation of how we want life to be, even in opposition to all of these setbacks, because it does such a good, it did, and kind of still does a good job of representing some ideals, especially, you know, with race representation and gay and bi representation.
But certainly, then it certainly tries more than
it
most.
It tries more than most shows.
Yeah.
And sci-fi, in my opinion, is the perfect setting in which to try to set these things up. But it falls through. It fell through a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't know how well they can continue to bring that stuff up without having the problematic things also
I mean
still there. Like
I'm personally I'm fully of the opinion that I do not want them to stop trying, even if they continue to you know, in some people's opinions drastically mess up. I think that a big part of why I liked this show was because it was trying, and I still think it's done a lot of great things. We have a lot of strong females in the show. We have a lot of varying females of you know, it's different kinds of strength. We have a lot of race diversity. You know, we still have the idea of that there's no labels in this society and there's no big deal that people are gay or bi or whatever. We still have Miller and Bryant, you know, like
Clark is no matter who she's with, she in our real world she is bi. Like by our standard, and that's amazing. Like how often do we
And I again that you know, I don't want to be acting like that gives them a blank slate pass or anything, but I think it's important to remember these things. That, you know, they're not perfect, but they're still doing stuff.
They need to keep trying. Like just in general, media needs to keep trying. We are of the firm opinion there isn't enough diversity on television, and I would say in the last year it's gotten a lot better. Even, like, I can think of a few shows that are doing a pretty good job. But not necessarily on basic cable.
Well, I also think that there's this show does have a scale that other things don't, right? The fact that we have Monty, we have Miller, we, you know, like, we have Bellamy, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of diversity, you know, and again, even if a lot of shows have a strong female character, we don't have this many. We don't have this many in leadership positions. You know, that goes into another hope of mine that I hope that they try to tackle a trans character. And I am scared of that because I think that they could mess it up. But I think it would be really interesting to tackle that in this world. And I think that that, you know, is one of the few things that they haven't attempted, because we forget about the disability stuff that they've done a little bit with too. And they certainly don't have mental health too. So it's again, not everything perfect.
And that's where the suicide thing, where I'm like, I don't know, because. But you know, with having a specifically trans character, like I don't know what you mean by that, like having someone undergo a transition.
I think what I want, and I haven't thought about this that much, so you know, forgive me if I, you know. I think what I'd want is a new character, maybe who has no clear gender, and it's not an issue. I think that would be interesting.
A non-gendered character, or a character even that they refer to as they instead of he or she or whatever, because that would be...
I think that, you know, I think it's the clear next evolution of the no labels for sexuality that they have here. And I think that, again, it's something that you can do in this world that you can't do in other shows.
Not that gender has anything to do with sexuality.
No, I'm not saying.
I'm just clarifying your point.
That there's no labels. No one's talking about. Same thing with no one's talking about racism.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Not directly.
I mean, no one's talking about race.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I think that to me is the next thing of we're normalizing this. This isn't, this is a world where this is not a discussion point. But yeah, I mean, we went off track a little bit with Jasper. We were talking about the three guys thing, and that I don't really know what you do with Jasper, because I think that it made sense for his journey to end there.
Yeah.
And if it didn't, then do you pick it back up and you continue to have him be depressed, which I'm like, we just had a whole season of this.
So specifically for those who haven't seen, I mean, they leave him, he's with...
Those who haven't seen?
Those who haven't seen it recently might not remember the, like, specific thing. It ends with him and Monty reconciling, Raven and Harper there, and they're all kind of smiling and laughing a little bit.
Celebrating,
thank you. And then Jasper walks off on his own, and then he kind of looks over his shoulder back at them, smiles a little bit, and then it cuts away.
Yeah.
But it's a sad smile, and he insisted on walking away alone.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But because they chose to end it, cut it on the smile.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't that mean that you're trying to set him up for a different...
I think what they're trying to say is that that he's found hope and that he's gonna be better next season. And so that's, to me, is
it's nice.
I don't know. I don't think it's nice.
You don't think it's nice.
I think it's a huge failure.
Oh.
He had just been through all that stuff, and then he had a few sentences with Monty, and now he's
he's better. Don't get me wrong. I agree with you that, like, that doesn't make sense for the arc. Yeah. But the story arc, I should say. But because this is what they chose to end it on, that must mean, like, it would be complete nonsense if they decided to go back on that.
I don't know that I agree with that. I don't know what I want, but I think if they went back to, not necessarily he's worse than ever, but if he was still struggling, I think, honestly, I think would... I mean, I think that it would make some sense to have both him and Raven trying to be more optimistic but continue to struggle and then find solace in each other. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
I think there are other ways to go with it, but I think that honestly what makes the most sense is that they're doing better, but they're still not doing well.
I think that's going to be a theme / part of several people's storylines.
I mean, if you're close to suicidal and then you find the world's going to end in 6 months, what does that do to you?
And that they have to find a plan and have enough hope and strength to
could be really interesting.
I don't want to seem pessimistic about it. Honestly, I feel the opposite about season 4. I really feel like they're going to be putting more effort into trying to turn the show around. I really hope that's true. Yeah.
Because, if I were the writers, I would want, like, with all the stuff, it's like, you can't really speak through social media anymore. Like, you've burned that bridge. So speak through your art.
They need to speak. Yeah. They need to let the show stand for itself.
Yeah.
And we kind of just hope that they have people, had people, I should say, read their scripts.
Yeah.
That weren't writers. I don't know.
But... Yeah. I mean, it's a very slippery slope because I don't want to get any remotely near censorship.
Yeah.
But if I were them, what I would have done is hired 2 or 3 people, maybe a panel of 3 people who are, like, academically inclined towards social justice and have some interesting ideas there, and have them advise you. Again, you don't have to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, okay, I can see where this might be a problem for some people, but we're still going to do it because A, B, and C, and artistically we think it's the right choice.
Yeah.
But to have an idea of how you might come off to people, because I think a lot of their choices were tone deaf in season 3.
They were tone deaf. That's exactly the right word for it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would say maybe not specifically. I would want them to still have writers, but maybe writers who don't act as, like, coming up with things, but writers who...
Editors,
yeah.
They need some revisions to their...
Yes, but I mean, the people who act as the editors. Yeah. Like, I would hope it's not just like, we hired these 3 professors. It's like, well, maybe it's people who have a semblance of how to tell a story.
Yeah.
And my fear is instead with this season that the executives...
Yeah, I'm scared.
On CW.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how much CW is known for that, but,
even if they're not, like... If I was an executive, I would crack down hardcore.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, personally, I don't know the behind the scenes stuff, but I assume that Jason is not tweeting because he's told not to.
Yeah.
Like, I assume that that's what's going on. I assume that he's not stopping tweeting by his own accord. Maybe.
Maybe.
But, yeah.
Who knows? We don't know. Yeah. And it sucks that we are inclined to speculate on things we don't know. And we're sorry if, like, that's something that totally doesn't interest you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't want to be discussing this. We what is it that you said?
I said one of my greatest hopes for this season is that nothing forces our hand into having to bring up Jason ever again.
Like, yeah, like, hopefully this is literally the last time we have to bring up Jason Rothenberg.
In that, like, I want to feel morally okay with focusing on the show as a show, and obviously to critique the things that the show says as an art and the things that it's putting out there, and I can critique the writing, but I don't want to be talking about the world outside of the show.
Yeah.
And if certain things come up, such as the Ricky Whittle thing from last year, I will talk about them because I feel the moral obligation to.
Yeah.
But I really hope that I am not forced to. And if we do, I do not want to harp on it.
Yeah.
I do not want to talk about it more than once. And, you know, I guess want to talk about the show because I love the show.
Yeah, I love the show. And we started to get so down on doing the podcast, like, just as a little bit of inside baseball. Like, there were times when it was hard for us to get the energy to discuss it because it's like, oh my God, there's so much. We felt the moral obligation to not let the show off the hook.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it deserved to be. I'm just saying, like, I want a show to be able to, I want art to stand for itself. Yeah. On the other hand, if the show completely stops discussing these things out of fear, out of being forced against it, then I would also be forced to discuss that, frankly, because then it's like, well, this isn't the show I signed up for. This isn't the show that really got me hooked. Like, if you're taking away characters and development and complexity in their morality, then you're not saying anything at all. And it's another show that I would not recommend or want to continue watching. So hopefully there isn't pressure for them to step away from that.
Well, I'm scared that there's going to be, again, as much as we talked about some of the issues and stuff, I'm scared that there's going to be toned down and violence. I don't want that. What I want is a warning before the show.
I
don't think we'll get that either.
No.
But, you know, I think that there's going to be some course correction here. And I think one of the things I listed here is how much we want them to directly address the criticisms, because there are a lot of them. And I think certain things you can address and certain things you can't.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I don't know. I think in some ways they should just look forward and they should just do better going forward. You know, and I think part of that, I don't know how you do it, but, like, I think it's kind of imperative that they do something positive for lesbians on this season. I personally feel that way. I don't know. I'm not necessarily saying with Clark. I'm not, you know, like, I just feel like to some degree you have to give them an olive branch, and I don't know if you can ever win them back or if you deserve to. But yeah.
So actually, on a related note, I think now's a good time to read the tweet that we were sent.
Yeah.
So this is from @Pegasus_writer.
Mm-hmm.
All I want in life is Clark to say out loud to another human that she loved Lexa. I need Clark to have a full season to mourn and love Lexa.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that would be an appropriate olive branch, frankly.
Yeah.
I don't think, not mashing in, but, like, having a Miller and Brian kind of retcon with someone else. Not retcon, because they didn't say that Miller was straight, but, like, oh, look, this character is in the background that we didn't pay attention to before. Like, background characters we didn't pay attention to before was an okay thing for 2 and 3.
Yeah.
It's not an okay thing for season 4. In my opinion.
Well, first of all, I think you're probably going to be disappointed then. I think we're going to get some grounders and things that we've never seen before.
Well, no. But that's a little different, in my opinion. I mean, like...
But in my opinion, this is a show that could conceivably do Raven is bi, and we just never knew it. The same way we didn't know that Clark was bi, and we never knew it. I think it would be kind of weird to do it twice.
Yeah.
So I can see that. I'm just saying, I don't think it would be outside of the realm of possibility that just in general, bisexuality is normalized in this society.
I could see that. I don't, and I think that would get more backlash.
You do?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh. I don't want to speak for that, but I mean to say that this, what Pegasus writer is saying, feels like the correct, or at least like a half season.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they want to do Clark and Bellamy, which it feels like they are going to do,
yeah.
there should be more personal development of Clark and mourning for Lexa.
And I think, you know, the some people would say, well, they didn't do that with Finn. And I think it's, given the gravity of the situation, I think that it's the, like, kind thing to do and, like, maybe the moral thing to do to give her some more time. At the same time, I'm personally torn because I certainly understand why people would want that. And I think there's a lot of merit. And I think that maybe, again, morally, it's the right thing to do is to give her the season or half a season or whatever. And but on the other hand, I mean, my feeling is I love the show before Lexa. I love the show after Lexa. The show isn't about Lexa. And it kind of is the commercial imperative to put Bellamy and Clark together. And I don't know that I would necessarily blame them for that when they're trying to get another season. I also
Are they trying to get another season?
Yeah, they are, from what I've seen of the writers tweeting and things like that.
Okay.
So I don't I don't want them to rush that at all.
Yeah.
But I also think, and again, even just beyond the commercial aspect, to me the best thing would be is if they what I would want personally, again, this is my personal hope, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do or whatever, is to have her mourning through most of the season, but little moments with Bellamy. Halfway through the season, they have a bigger moment, but she's like, I can't do this yet. End of the season, they get together.
Yeah. In some way. I'm not asking for, like, an outright sex scene or whatever. I personally think that that would, as well, personal opinion, feel free to disagree, is that that would be, like, satisfying story-wise, satisfying character development-wise. Yeah. And if we're looking at what the root, like, root vegetables is not, is what for whatever the word that came into mind, but, like, these are the little strings that we have.
Yeah.
Like, the little story threads from the previous seasons.
Yeah.
And they need to work with what they have.
Yeah. Well,
that would be my ideal as well.
But so what I was gonna say at the end of is that yes, that's what I want, but I also think there's a potential issue with that, which is if then the show is over and you never actually had Clark and Bellamy get together, I feel like that's kind of an artistic failure to some degree too. Like, I think that there was clearly so much chemistry with the two of them for so long. If you never actually explore that, are you failing there too? And I should also point out that for me personally, I'm kind of over it. Like, I'm not saying I want this necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like I loved them in season one. I enjoyed them until Lexa showed up. That was a struggle where I liked both of them for a while.
Yeah, me too.
But Lexa superseded it. And at this point, because of all the hard feelings about Lexa and everything, like, I can't get excited about Bellark anymore. Whether they sure they still have chemistry and everything, but there's always going to be a part of me that's just like, you know, like, and so for me, I'm at a point now where I think, and I don't think they'll ever do this, and I don't think most people want this, but I'm at a point where I think it would be kind of interesting if they just had a sexual relationship and were friends. Like, that's where I'm at. Like, okay. I don't know that I want to see them, like, in love. I don't know that all I want that from them.
I kind of veer the opposite, where, like, after time, even if it's 6 months of time, which I'm sure they're going to go up until the very last second of the deadline with the world ending in 6 months, that they do something along the lines of Bellamy being with Clark.
Yeah.
This might not seem like an appropriate comparison given the relationship, but this kind of reminds me a little bit of Cora and Asami, Cora Asami in, Legend of Cora, about how, like, oh, they have the threads, but she's with guys. And then in the very last shot of the finale is her and Asami being together, like, just holding hands and stepping forward. Yeah. And everyone was like, oh, my God, what does this mean? And it's like, well, we know what it means. And yes, in that case, the writers did clarify that it was a romantic relationship, but that didn't make it less satisfying.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that I would want that to be the last shot of the season, but, like, kind of in an appropriate way of, oh, there are relationship, like, and mourning a relationship and struggle throughout the season, but there is a secondary part to it. And I think that maybe a problem is that a lot of people don't want relationships to be a secondary part of this show. Yeah. They want it to be a primary part of this show. And that's not what we want. But I get it. Cause,
no, I mean, again, what you're saying, with that final shot of the two of them, I'm perfectly okay with. Mm-hmm. I just do think that there is a certain level of where I would be like, it's kind of weird that they never actually tried this and, like, actually showed it to us.
Yeah.
Given the chemistry of the actors.
Yeah.
But let's sidestep it a little bit and talk about Bellamy in general. And that, you know, given the... I predicted this, but given the passing of time and now rewalking some of season three, I've let go of Bellamy issues. I'm not mad at him anymore. And the thing that I feel is, so maybe I should be, you know, honestly, it was still a messed up storyline and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mad at the writers because, and this is why I'm able to let go of it, because I think that the writers had a failing in that they fully believed that he made his choice in a way that he thought was right.
Mm-hmm.
And that they failed to make me understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But he thought he was doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really bad, but it was a really bad, it was a messed up plot line. And so, like, I just want to start over.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's, I mean, what am I going to do? Just hold the grudge on this character they clearly want me to like for, like, it's not going to be an enjoyable show to watch.
Yeah. And I want to enjoy it. I think that's what it comes down to. I'm not going to forgive, like, I'm not going to be easy on them when there are fuck-ups like that if they continue.
Yeah.
That part of the show is discussing what we like and discussing what we don't like and what frustrates us and getting it out there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I kind of am approaching season four from, all right, fresh start.
Yeah.
Don't let us down.
Yeah.
Just please don't let us down. Yeah. Like, we continue to advocate for the show. Yeah. We still believe in it. We still believe in the good it does. You know, people are only human, but hopefully they learn from their mistakes in writing, in pacing, and in character development.
Yeah. All right. So I think we only have one other... Oh, okay. We skipped a couple things I want to quickly say. If we're talking about hopes, I hope for a lot more Monty and a lot more Raven this season. They rise in prominence quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I also hope that we really have Clark as a strong protagonist with agency throughout the season. She's had a lot of great moments in multiple seasons and stuff. Season three, she had a great ending.
Mm-hmm.
But throughout this season, she wasn't doing much.
Yeah. She, honestly, for me, agency for Clark means she gets to be Chancellor. Or they eliminate the idea of Chancellor and she's just, like, not even voted into place. She's just, like, the de facto leader and people trust her. Because she did this for them. But then there will be probably resistance to her, like, but you still put us in danger.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would be interested in that conflict too, I guess. So, but in my mind, she needs to be the leader.
Yeah.
The leader.
I agree. We're at that point now where it makes sense.
They got there.
She saved everybody. I mean, we're still going to have, I do think we're going to have people who think she's the worst ever because she killed all of them.
Yeah.
But there should definitely be a contingent of people who look to her as a leader because she saved them.
Yeah.
Now, the last thing that I wrote, I don't know if there's anything else you want to talk about, but the last thing I had was the whole idea of who do we think should die, who should be off the table, you know.
I don't even know anymore.
If I was going to... So they're totally going to kill some people.
They have to.
I think Cain and Abby are top of my list as potential you can kill them and it'll be okay.
I don't know how they do that if they, like, now we rewatch the finale. I forgot that Abby was, like, threatened, you know, she tried to hang herself when she was still chipped in threat of Clark. Like, I don't know how you
get back to that.
Like, they've threatened everybody to such a degree that I don't think I know who I want to die or who would be okay to kill until I see it.
She could, like, sacrifice herself, though. That would be different for her, at least.
It would.
I think
Cain loves to sacrifice himself.
Well, that's why I think it would be interesting if Cain, I don't know. I don't know if they could make it believable, but I think it would be interesting if you make him slightly more villainous or at least antagonistic, and then you kill him off that way. And again, if they could pull it off, it would be interesting to have the redemption arc and then the fall from grace. You know, like, I think that would be cool.
I don't know what.
You can't kill Bellamy. You can't kill Clark. You can't kill Raven. I hope they don't kill Monty, but I could see them killing Monty.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll kill Jasper finally.
Maybe they'll kill Murphy.
I could see them killing Murphy.
Murphy feels like, honestly, the most done at this point.
Yeah, like, I really like the actor, and the character is fun and funny and interesting.
Sassy.
But, like, what else does he have to do now?
Man, Murphy is, like, the ultimate guy in my mind who, like, they've done everything with his character, and I went from hating his punchable face. Like, I was like, oh man, his face is really punchable in like the first half of season one, to being like, I love this character, he's amazing, please more. So if I'm asking for more, doesn't that mean you should kill him?
No. You could kill him, don't kill Indra, don't kill Miller and Brian, and I think Octavia could die.
Octavia could die.
I think we'll definitely get some new characters that they'll make us love and kill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure. I'm not saying there won't be new characters. There have to be, but
I also think it'd be interesting if Jaha had some level of redemption and then died.
I would. I don't know if I want him to actively sacrifice himself.
No,
he did that already.
No.
I would love it if Indra was the leader of Tree Crew. Like, while they were waiting for more Nightbloods.
You mean of the whole...
Of the whole...
Grounders.
The Grounders,
she's
sorry.
The leader of Tree.
We don't actually have still a word for
You want her to be Hedda.
Yeah, but in my head, Hedda... in my mind, Hedda means, like, the one who has ascended.
Yeah.
So, like, she should be the leader of the Grounder
Coalition.
The first
democratically elected leader of the Grounders.
Yeah, who won't try to kill off Sky Crew.
Yeah.
Is it spoilery about
what?
You know who?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm pointing to my face.
Devil.
No.
Magneto.
No.
Say it.
Rowan.
Oh yeah, I don't think so.
You don't think he'll play a part?
No, I know. You're saying, is it spoilery that he's still around?
Oh.
I don't think that's that spoiler.
Yeah.
People know he's still around.
Yeah. They didn't actually like kill him.
I love
even
how
it
like
totally...
I don't even know. Am I keeping that part of the podcast in? I think it's kind of funny. All right.
Yeah, go for it. Me miming to you, so yes. It's okay to You know, mime works great on audio.
He was doing weird face things.
I was trying to outline his scars on his face where he
I
has.
I thought
like...
he was Magneto with a helmet.
Oh, God.
Anyway, yeah, Rowan. It'd be interesting to see what they do. I think he's gonna be not. I think he'll be popping in and out.
Probably.
He's another one where I like him a lot. I think the actor is great, and I think that they've done some fun things with him, but he never really reached his potential for me.
Yeah.
I want more Luna. Don't kill Luna.
Oh,
she's my fave.
Well, they have to have Luna.
Yeah, Luna's
They
awesome.
Have to have her back. They left that thread open, so, you know.
Yeah, she's going to play a major role, I think.
I think she will probably have something to do with Jasper. Yeah.
You know what else I want? Is Snow. I wanted snow this season with the Ice Nation. I want snow again.
By now, I know they film in the summer, but like, God damn it. Come on, winter has been coming on this show too.
yeah. All right. I think, you know, that's that. Oh, did I say I think they could kill Octavia?
Yes, okay. You said that.
I wasn't sure if I was just thinking that or if I actually said it.
No, they could kill Octavia.
They could kill Octavia. That would be one of the...
I love how in the finale we were like, the Blake siblings don't say what they say with their words. They say what they say with their eyes. And, like, there was especially an interaction where it was, like, Bellamy being, like, be careful. Or, like, be safe, talk to him. And she's just like, yeah. And I'm like, what he really means is, I love you. Don't kill Pike. And it's like, shit, Octavia. And then the last, like, look of it is Octavia killing Pike and then looking at Bellamy. And in my head, I read it as, like, damn it, Octavia, what did I say?
You know what I just thought of? I think that the thing that would be really great and would make people angry as all fuck,
but I think
would be the right move, personally, is you kill Bellamy.
I'd be fine with that.
I think if they killed Bellamy, if they had, either if Octavia and him finally reconciled or they never reconciled, then you killed Bellamy, I think that would be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be interesting for Clark, and I think that would be just daring, you know? And, you know, it would also, I think that would be something... It would be daring as hell to be like, shipping is done. We're done. Like, you know, like
I would respect them for that. I know that would piss off a lot of people.
Yeah.
Wow. But at least that would show that there wasn't much executive interference. Like, we don't care. We don't care about pissing people
off.
And
again, I'm not saying I want it to happen early at
all.
Like, but I think if they did it like near like maybe the beginning of Act 3 of the season, I think that would be interesting.
Wow. I hadn't considered that. Like, that just didn't seem like an option to me. You even earlier said, like, they can't kill Bellamy, they can't kill Clark. Yeah.
I think also, if they're writing it to be the last season, I think Clark could die. but not until the end.
Hmm.
I also don't think that I want that, but...
I mean, I don't know if I want a season 5 yet.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Depends on how season 4 goes.
Not just that, but it depends on what their story is. Like, yeah. I don't know how much you can escalate...
Beyond that.
Beyond literally the world is ending again, quite literally. And we discussed about how, oh, what if they end up back in space?
Yeah.
Like, that would be pretty cool, but I don't know if I'd want to see them trying to establish a new culture.
Well, it's like you said about having the final shot of Bellamy and Clark holding hands. If they were on a new arc flying into the unknown, that would be a fine way to end the series. I don't know. It seems a little too simple for this show.
It does, but you know what? Hey, we're not writers. Yeah. Well, you are, but like, we're not writers on this show, so who knows what they're thinking.
I wonder if there's any possibility that they'd ever just kill everybody. You know?
Like, screw you guys, we're leaving.
No, I'm saying that like the...
No, I mean like the writers being like, we are burning this to the ground. Ooh. Yeah. That would be hilarious in a very sick and twisted way. Just like, that's it, we're done.
Oh, don't you love that originally we're like, there's no way we'll fill up 30 minutes with this.
It's been an hour. Yeah. How funny would it be if they try to save the world and then they can't, and that's just how the show ends? Like, the good guys don't win. Yeah.
Maybe there are no good guys.
I was just about to make that joke, but like, the non-good good guys, no one wins. Everyone dies. The world is over. Allegory for real life. There we go. Boom. Oh, peace.
Finn comes back and says, I told you so.
We've lost it.
Yeah. All right. You have the list of the contact stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
I do. So.
Well, first, I'll just quickly say, I fixed the iTunes, all the feeds. So all of our podcasts are up now on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, just our RSS feed. Everything's all up to date, and you can listen to our season 1 and 2 stuff. So that's cool.
And all of season 3.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Yeah. Good job bringing that up. Dan did all of that. I do nothing with technology. I just sit here and talk and
look pretty.
Aw, shucks. I look like a troll right now, but you're very nice to me. So anyway, if you want to contact us, give us feedback, questions about the show, opinions, all that jazz, you can tweet us at The100Podcast. You can email us at The100Pod@gmail.com. We have a website now, as Dan mentioned. Ooh. It's the100podcast.com. And we still have our Tumblr, the100-podcast.tumblr.com. All of this is 100. Whenever there's 100, it is 100, not spelled out in letters.
Yeah. And again, if you, the100podcast.com pretty much has access to everything. It's a good one place to go as far as all you can, you know, on the blog there, you can watch all the old podcasts or listen. And then it also has links to our Twitter, and it has links to contact us, and it has links to, you know, subscribe on iTunes and Google Play and all the stuff. So check us out there, and good. All right.
Tune in next
May
week.
We meet again.
May we meet again.
I thought you forgot.
No, I didn't. Okay. I was just going to say we're going to do a podcast episode on the premiere.
If you believe it, we're not just doing this and then stop.
So for real now, may we meet again.
May we meet again.